Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
You know, we've been in the month of March. We focus on missions, and we've had a couple. We had the team that went to Israel share the first week, and then last week we had some of our friends from Ecuador, Bobby and Lori Leek, and he really delivered a wonderful message about what it is to be on mission. To be on mission, we're all missionaries. We all have a mission that God wants us to fulfill, right? We've all heard of that, you know. The thing that when Bobby had called and was asking, you know, things that I had wanted you to understand and think about for this missions conference, I said to him, missions breeds momentum. Missions breeds momentum. And you know, momentum is good for a church. It's good, you know. And being able to do certain things really helps breed that momentum and continue that momentum. Well, if you've ever went on a mission trip, raise your hand if you've been on a mission trip in this place. Even if you were into Western Kentucky, you went to Western Kentucky during the storm, Eastern Kentucky during the floods. Raise your hand. Look at us all over across this place. The majority of the people have been on a mission trip. When you go on a mission trip, or just like the 17 ladies that went to the conference, they come in and then all of a sudden they're really excited about what God is doing. They have this excitement in their life, and that is momentum. That's momentum. And so it's what you do with it and how you maintain it that is what is important. Momentum has been defined as mass in motion. Pretty simple. A mass, anything that has a mass in motion. Moving. Doing something. Experts say that we create momentum by doing a little more of the things that move us forward and less of the things that make us static. Well, a little more of the things that move us forward and less of the things that make us static. I mean, that makes sense, but we can use this in pretty much any part of our life, right? You know, so if you wrote down those New Year's resolutions, you know, doing more of the things that move you forward and less of the things that make you static, you know, motion, movement, action. You know, it's if you get up and you say, well, I want to be able to run a mile, well, you should probably be able to run to the mailbox first. So maybe just practice that, you know, because it's doing more of the things that move you forward and less of the things that make you static. You know, like, I know there's been a lot of static people over the last, 72 hours, I guess. You know, the most missed days in all of work history because everyone's watching the NCAA. You know, a lot of static people sitting on their tails watching a lot of basketball. You know, I won't lie. My wife was gone to the conference on Friday, and my daughter was at work, and me and my son, we did nothing. We were static. We ordered a pizza, and we watched basketball, and we did nothing. You know, that doesn't breed a lot of momentum. That goes against everything I'm saying today. All right. But, so when you think about momentum, you have to begin on the things that are important to you. Eating right, exercise, good habits, you know, reading, praying, doing devotions, doing more of those things and less of the things that make you static. John Maxwell said, when you have no momentum, even the simplest task can seem to be insurmountable problems. But when you have momentum on your side, the future looks bright, obstacles appear small, and troubles seem temporary. That's good advice. That's good advice. You know, because, I mean, when you're static and you're not doing anything, all of a sudden, I mean, boy, some problems, they look huge. Oh, how am I ever going to do that? How am I ever going to, you know, accomplish that task? Because you have no momentum. You're sitting still. When I was in physics class, I had this, thinking about it, I look like my physics teacher today. I didn't think about that when I use this analogy. It's a bad one. But my physics teacher was about 80 years old and had already, you know, retired twice, was a doctor at University of Alabama, and just a boy, he was way smarter. He shouldn't have been teaching our class. We were dumb. And so he was teaching us this class, and I remember in physics one day, he said, "What happens when you see a car speeding at you? What do you do?" Pray. Okay, well, hallelujah. There you go. What else do you do? He said, you speed up. He said, because if this thing is moving at you, you've got to hit it with more force than it's about to hit you with. Because you need momentum on your side. Think about it. You need momentum on your side. Just think about the devil. Think about the enemy. He's always coming at you. He's always coming at you. Always coming at you, right? It says that he's got fiery darts that he's throwing at you. Imagine if you're just standing still, getting hit all the time. You're just getting beat up by the devil. You need some momentum, so you got to get something going so you can come at the devil. You can resist. All right, I know. We're in Kentucky. Let me break it down for you. How many's ever been mudding? Yeah, you know, we've been mudding, right? So when you're out there and you see a big mud hole, what do? I'm going to speed up. I'm going to get a little speed. I'm going to hit that mud hole, and I'm going to go through it, right? How many of you ever decided you're going to creep into the mud hole and be real cool and spin out, and then you got stuck? Uh-huh. I know Stephen's done that all the time. You decide you're real cool, and you're going to get in that mud hole, and you're going to wait and let that four-wheeler or that Jeep sink down, and then you slam it, and it don't go anywhere. Because you don't have momentum on your side. You know, you wonder how you get stuck in these ruts in your walk every day. You find these mud holes and you sit down. You find these mud holes and you think, well, I can mess around with that. It ain't going to do anything to me. I'll just, you know. And all of a sudden you find yourself sinking. You find yourself sinking. Because you decided to mess around with stuff you shouldn't be messing around with. You decided not to have momentum in Christ, which gets you through things. Like John Maxwell said, the things that you see when you have momentum appear small. They appear small. Wow, I can get through. That's nothing when you're already moving. It's nothing. But when you're sitting still, it's when you don't have momentum. So we need momentum in so many areas of our lives. We need it in the church. Building momentum creates more productivity. It creates more effectiveness, and it creates more efficiency. I mean, does that sound like something the church could benefit from? You know, I want us to be more productive when it comes to witnessing. We need to be more productive when it comes to witnessing. I want our message to be more effective when people hear it. I want when people hear the message of Jesus that we're preaching, I want it to be effective. I want it to be efficient for the. I want when I deliver sermons, I think, can they use this today? Is it efficient for them today? Thank you. Hallelujah. I don't get an amen. I get most of the time, you know. Andrew Mack wrote an article called Spiritual Momentum. And he said, Christians can experience spiritual momentum when their faith grows at an increasing rate. Is your faith growing at an increasing rate? We see that when our faith begins to grow, it creates momentum. Matthew 17, chapter 17, verse 20, says, Jesus is speaking and he tells those that he's speaking to, his disciples, he says, you don't have enough faith. But he says, I tell you the truth, if you had even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible. Nothing is impossible when you have faith on your side. Faith creates momentum. Faith increases your momentum. So we need momentum. Paul talks about spiritual momentum this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. To maintain spiritual momentum, you have to forget the past and look ahead. Do you think you can have very much momentum if you're always looking back? I mean, you think so. If you think so, drive a car that way. You think that'll work out for you? If you think if you're driving a car, always looking backwards, I don't think you're going to have a lot of momentum. You're going to be slowing down and, oh, I don't know what, and then running into something. Because we can't look back if God is calling us forward. Paul says, I press on forward to win the prize. I press on. I get momentum as I go so that I can win the prize, so that it's not taken from me by the enemy. I press on. I gain momentum. To maintain spiritual momentum, you have to stand strong in the face of struggles. You have to stand strong in the face of struggles. You ever been in the ocean and got knocked around by some waves? Boy, they're knocking you around. They're throwing you in, especially if you're standing still, right? You just feel that sand come out from underneath your feet and boom. But what happens if you see that wave and you come running like these crazy young kids who come running and jump right in it? Well, don't knock you down. You just, boom, you go through it. You jump over it. They're gaining momentum as they see the hits coming. You know, that's what we have to do. Paul, Silas, and Timothy wrote this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonians, I see the struggles. I see what you're going through. But we proudly tell everyone that you are faithful, that you stand strong in the midst of trials and persecutions. I mean, we're going to have trials and persecutions. Right? Not only the church, but each of us individually. We are going to have trials, persecutions, hardships, because the enemy, he doesn't like us, right? He's got strategies to take you out. He's got strategies to bring you down. So we have to face these persecutions, and we can maintain spiritual momentum when we stand strong and face them. If you see the wave coming, right? Like an ocean, you see the wave coming. And what happens when you turn and try to outrun it? How many of you are face planted in the sand? Because it hits you from behind and it's going to smack you right down. What do you think happens when you try to run when you see the strategy of the enemy coming? I'm going to run away from this attack. No, you're not. He's going to smack you right in the back of the head and knock you right down to the ground. We have to have momentum and stand strong. And it works so much better when we're a mass, when we're a body of Christ, when we're all in unity, when we have a purpose that we all focus on together. How much impact can we make? That's why we support our missionaries. We talk about missionaries. The thing, we are joining with our missionaries as they attack the enemy. You know, when we stand with Hope Family Care, they're a missionary group, a ministry team that ministers to families who lost children. Can you imagine the weight that they have to feel every time they talk to people and feel their pain? Do they not need our prayer so that they can face the enemy, so they can push through the trials and the strategies and the persecutions that they're faced with to do what God has called them to do? Sometimes God calls us to do hard things. And that's why it's important that we have a group, a team of prayer warriors, a group of team of supporters. You know, we support them monthly because we believe in their ministry. We believe in what they do. You heard Bobby and Lori talk about their spiritual sons that they have that lead churches in Ecuador. We support them monthly so they can do that, so that they can have momentum to reach the lost in Ecuador. We, as Brother Lou was saying, we do this all around the world so that these missionaries can have momentum to stand and face the persecutions and do what God has called them to do. Our vision or mission statement is written over the wall on the wall over here. It says, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost. And we do that through missions. We do that on our mission field right here in the United States, right here at your workplace, right here in school systems. We do that when these missionaries support those that have lost. We do that for those in other countries. But we carry the message to reach those that are lost, that are hurting, that need Jesus. Now imagine though, if we stopped doing that during COVID because we're like, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Or, you know, a lot of people left the church during COVID, so we can't support all of our missionaries. Imagine if we did that. Imagine if we said, well, you know, the tithes and offerings, they look up and down sometimes, so we can't commit to giving that monthly support. Do you think we'd be deflating our missionaries? Do you think they would say, oh yeah, we can do all of this, and they have all these plans, and then all of a sudden, they don't have funds to do what God called them to do? They can't stay on the mission field because they don't have support? You know, so many people do that. You know, I remember we were missionaries at one point in time, and when we were raising money, and I called people and talked to them, and they said, you know, we really can't support missions right now. You know, church is up and down, and we can't support missions. You know, again, I told you, our apostle, he said when he started the church, if you can't support missions, you might as well shut your doors. Because God has called us to help missions, go into all the world and make disciples. And we do that by carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost. What if we stop doing that because, it's a hard time. It's a hard time of year. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Tithes and offerings are up and down. The attendance is up and down. This is going on. That's going on. Oh, have you seen the interest rates rising? I mean, you know, we better back off. We better not do these things. You know, speaking of that, here we are. We're planning to build a recreation facility. Amen. We're planning to build a gym. Well, go ahead, give me that picture. Do I have anybody up there? There you go. Wake up. You didn't know it, but you better be ready in season, out of season, all the time. We're getting ready to build a recreation gym. And this is what it's going to look like. Amen? We're going to build this building right behind this church right here. It's going to be a gym. Go ahead, give us some pictures. But imagine if we decided, well, you know, I've been told, you know, I don't know if you should do that right now. Don't you know steel's up? You know, it's steel. Oof. Don't you know the materials are hard to get? I don't know if you'll be able to get all the concrete that you need to fill that place. Do you know the interest rates are going up? Maybe we should wait. But, you know, if I wait, if I think about these things, then I'm honestly thinking that I can do this in my own power anyway. Hello? And I don't give any power to God to accomplish what he said for us to do. Because if he gave us a vision, if he gave us a plan, is he not big enough to provide? Hello? He is, we just said it, he is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. So he knows all and he can do all. So we can build this gym and we can break ground on it this year. Amen? That's going to be a mission field. Come on, give Jesus some praise. It's going to be a mission field. It's going to reach the young people. It's going to be open to youth. Guess what? Did y'all see? It's going to have a movie theater in it. We don't have a movie theater in our town, but we're going to have a movie theater in our church. Why? Young people need a place to go. They need a place they can see. We need to be able to share the message of Jesus to reach a lost world. Amen? And God provides. He provides. As we are faithful to give, and let me tell you, as Brother Lou said, we do not miss when it comes to giving to our missionaries. It don't matter what the circumstance looks like. we give to our missionaries because they have a purpose that God called them to do. And we agreed with them that we would help them do it. So let me give you a little update on this building. I want you to know we've been very faithful in planning and trying to get this thing done. We've been very faithful in trying to put things together. And we personally as the church, go back to a better picture. I don't want to see second floor. I want to see a good picture of this place. We personally as the church have saved $200,000 ready for this building. Without anybody giving a dime yet to the building, I know people already have, I'm not counting that, we have put aside $200,000 to begin construction of this building. We're meeting with a couple new architects this week so that we can have the plans ready and that we can break ground very soon. But on top of that, because how many know God is a good God? God always provides. We had a donation come in of $100,000 for this building. We now have $300,000 ready. And we haven't pulled out a shovel yet. We have $300,000 and I haven't asked you to make your pledge yet. Hello. You know it's coming. But I believe that God said we could build this and we can do it debt free. Well, $300,000 looks a lot better than zero. Guess what you got now? Momentum. You've got momentum to do what God has called you to do. And we're called to build that. So if we're called to build that, he's called to give some of you $10,000 that can donate it. If you said, oh, $10,000, then you don't have to believe in God to give it to you. If God wants me to give $10,000, he's going to give me $10,000 to give it. All he has to do is get it through me. Amen? But we're going to see this wonderful facility be built, and it's going to be debt-free. We're going to have momentum to reach those that need reach right here in Nelson County. We got momentum on our side. We're ready. You know, people look at it and go, well, you know, I mean, this shut down and that shut down, that gives me more momentum to do what God called me to do. We took it to architects already, and they said, we've not seen a design like this yet. This is awesome. We want to help you on this. So because they're excited about it, they realize the potential that it has. We have momentum. So spiritual momentum, we have to understand how we have to keep it, how we have to maintain it, what we have to do. So spiritual momentum is created by an atmosphere that includes three important things. I would go further and say these are three crucial things. Number one, preaching of the Word of God. Preaching of the Word of God. Now I know, a lot of churches, they think that they are teaching the Word of God, but they have to believe everything in the Word of God from the beginning to the end and take nothing out by their own interpretation. Okay? So we don't get to pick and choose what we want to listen to and obey in the Word of God. So to have real spiritual momentum, you have to preach the Word of God. It is the foundation truth. What did John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, because the Word was God. The Word of God is what we have to preach first. It is the most important thing. All right? Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 9, it says, remember your leaders who taught you the Word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. I'm going to tell you, if you're following someone, be careful. But if you're following someone that has no faith to believe for God to do impossible things, if you're following someone that don't believe that God can still heal, you're following people that don't teach the Word of God, then you're not seeing examples in their life that you need to follow. If you're seeing people that are always broke and never can afford anything, and you're saying, well, yeah, I'm a blessed God, that's what God's called them to be. I don't believe that. I've seen missionaries live on the mission field and receive support and are blessed. I mean, they don't get to earn a nice income like us that go out and can get any job we want, make any kind of amount of money we want. They decide to go on the mission field on this fixed income. But God just begins to bless them. Because it isn't about what you work or what you do or what your title is. It's about the God you serve. And I want to follow people whose example shows me that. I'm just saying. I want to follow people that I see the word of God, the truth of God, that they speak, and that I see the fruit from it. That I see the fruit from it. And I believe we see good fruit. I believe we see good fruit in our missionaries. And if we don't see good fruit in our missionaries, there ain't our missionaries. I'm just saying. You're in a place that believes in being, that have an integrity when it comes to the word of God and the things of God. That's why you're sitting in a debt-free facility. Amen? So it says, think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Oh my. Well, it's time for the church to get woke. That sounds like a strange new idea. How about I just stick to the Word of God? Well, it's time that we change some of the things the way we... I think I'll just stick to the Word of God. You know, you do you. I'll do what's right. But I'm telling you, either... And I'm going to go even a step further. There are those that are in the prophetic world and realm that have had wonderful prophecies that have come true, but all of a sudden began to get these strange new ideas and begin to say them. If those ideas are whack, don't follow them. Thank you. Because I'm telling you, there's been a time when you look at someone and go, man, that was good teaching, that was good word, that was good. And then all of a sudden you start hearing something weird, go, nope. Because people start to take things on themselves. If I ever get up here and start giving you the word of Jeremy and not the word of God, leave. Go find someone else that will teach you the word of God. But you know that'll never happen because I got my apostle, my dad. You know, I got my father-in-law over here, Pastor Rick. I've got Pastor Lou right here. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to keep me in line. They're going to make sure we teach the Word of God. That's why we're a fivefold ministry. I know I'm getting a little off. But you've got to be careful on strange and new ideas. What's wrong with the same Word of God? If Jesus didn't change yesterday, today, or forever, then why do we got to change? Why has the church got to change to reach the lost? No, we don't have to. And we gain momentum by preaching the Word of God. Number two, the power of God. What gives you momentum? The power of God. In a world of chaos and uncertainty, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by your own weakness and your own powerlessness, right? But there is one whose source of strength never fails. I said there's one whose source of strength never fails. When Jesus stood before the council in Luke chapter 22, verse 69, he says, "But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand." He will be seated in the place of power. Jesus said, "I'm leaving this earth because I'm the Messiah, and I'm going to be seated at the place of power." In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 through 31, I'm going to read this. It says, "To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal?" asks the Holy One. "Look up into the heavens, who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on high on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Amen. It's telling us we need the power of God. The power of God gives us momentum. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So I would say, if you go through your life and you say, well, I haven't seen God's power like you're talking about. I don't know this level of power that you're talking about. I would tell you, you have to get to know him more. You have to get to know him more. We receive by knowing him. We receive by knowing him. So we have to get to know, oh, I haven't seen it in my life. You talk about all this, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the power of God. I have. I've seen the power of God. And when you see the power of God, it's because you know him. Church, that's why it's so important that we draw closer and closer to Jesus. He said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Right? Do we put in that effort to draw near to him? Some of us are going through life and say, man, we really need God to move. We really need a change. We really need a miracle. I really need God to do this. Are you drawing near to him? What are you doing to see God move? Now, does God need you to move? No. He's God. But oftentimes we're asking him to do us a favor. We're asking him to work on our behalf. At that point in time, he needs you. He needs you to do what you should do. Draw near to him. Draw near to him. Because he wants his disciples, his people, to be filled with the power that he has ready for us. He has a power ready for, a gift ready for us. We should be seeing the power of God in our churches. We should be seeing people healed, set free, delivered. That is the power of God. We should be seeing God open blind eyes and deaf ears. Because that is the power of God. That's the power of God. And all this, all the chaos that's in the world, nothing can overtake the power of God. So when I hear of all the stuff happening, I don't worry. It's because, like, I know I got Daddy God on my side. He's all powerful. All powerful. All powerful. Do you operate in the power of God? To have momentum, you have to have the power of God on your side. If people and places neglect the power of God, they won't have momentum. They won't have momentum. Number three, the third thing you need. And I've been saying this to you all year. I started at the time of the fast and began talking about this. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 16:11 says, you lead me in the path of life, and I experience absolute joy in your presence. You always give me sheer delight. I want you to know I read out of a different translation. I normally preach out of the New Living Translation, but I switched it to the NET translation on this because it has a very accurate description. And the reason why I did that, because it says, I experience absolute joy, not of your presence, as your Bibles may say, of your presence, but in your presence. In your presence. What you experienced today at church this morning when the altar was full was the presence of God. You could choose to enter in the presence, or you could choose not to. And I'm not saying that just because you came up here, you didn't or didn't. There were people in the back and all over that were in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, it's really hard to be in the presence of God, hello, if you're watching me on live stream. I love you, live stream. I do. I love you. But I need you to be in the presence of God. Amen. I don't want to just hear of the presence of God. That's why when the revival happened at Asbury, I didn't want to hear of it. I wanted to be in it. And we went. We were going to go get in the presence of God. There's absolute joy in the presence of God. But you know, people don't understand the presence of God and they don't want the presence of God. Well, I don't know what to do with it. Yeah. Exodus 33, verses 13 and 14 says, "Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may continue to find favor in your sight, and see that this nation is your people." And the Lord said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If you're struggling with anxiety and depression and fear and all these things, you need to be in the presence of God, so He'll give you rest. We find rest in His presence. That's why if you go to revival services that last way up into the night, and you got to get up and go to work the next morning, you can do so and have rest because you were in the presence of God. I was listening to Jonathan Shuttlesworth talk, and he was talking about a two-week revival he just had in West Virginia. And he said that the last night he preached for 4 hours. He said, they gave me the mic, and I just kept preaching. I preached for 4 hours. He said, then I stayed for another 60 minutes and prayed for people. And he said it out of a room of over 800 people. 800 people. He said no more than 14 got up and left. Why? Because they were in the presence of God. It's different. If you were here New Year's Eve, how many of you all of a sudden go, oh, it's already midnight? When Bishop Hooks was preaching. Because you were in the presence of God. When you're in it, time doesn't matter. When you're in the presence of God, that rumbling doesn't matter. It's been amazing how my stomach doesn't rumble when I'm in the presence of God. Because also, I'm in the presence of God. I'm not worried about food. I'm not worried about who's winning today on what game. This morning, I wasn't down here in worship worried about what time the game was. I was in the presence of God. And I had rest. I had rest. Why do we allow the presence of God to have His way in our service? So you can find rest, so you can find joy, so you can find peace. But we have to have, it creates momentum because it refreshes you. Yep, this is also found in the New Testament, by the way. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we know this is the Great Commission. Jesus came and told His disciples, "I have given all authority in heaven and on earth," or "I have been given all authority on heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." His presence is always with us. When we carry the message of Jesus, His presence is with us. When we make disciples, His presence is with us. He is with us. If you say, well, I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to talk. He's with you. He promised to never leave you or forsake you. Because it's in His presence that we have to be. He goes with us. This momentum that we're experiencing right now, what God is about to do, it comes from our missional heart. That's what it comes from. It comes from our missional heart. I'm telling you, we've done some big things in the church over the years that sound awesome, but we have to continue to do big things. But when we've done those big things, I can look back in the past and look back on those things that we've done, and they created momentum for us. How many of you remember when we put a Bible in every country in the world? That created momentum. That was awesome. We literally put a Bible in every country in the world. Then, how many remember, in one day, when we cooked 1,500 pork chops and bought and built a church to fund a church building in Bulgaria? If you worked those grills, you remember it. But it created momentum. In one day, we raised $6,000 to purchase the church in Bulgaria. Those create momentum. When we paid this church off a couple years ago to be 100% debt-free, that feel like some momentum? When we build this building, won't that feel like some momentum of what God is doing? The more we are missional, the more we are missional, the more we are on our mission, the more we are on our mission, sharing our testimony, we have momentum. Lord just dropped this into my heart, so I am going to pick on someone. I don't pick on many, but I like to pick on them. They know it. Brandon and Brittany, their testimony brought this church to its greatest capacity one day. I can count on probably on one hand the times that this church was full to the walls, every single seat and extra seats out. Ted Shuttlesworth did it in one of his revival services. We've had a few others. And one of the times was just their testimony. People came to hear what God had done in their life that day. It was packed. One empty seat in the place. Your testimony, you being on mission, creates momentum. You doing what God called you to do, living your testimony, creates momentum and brings people into the house of God. And then guess what? They hear, they get filled, they experience the presence of God, and it creates more momentum. It creates more momentum. Are we missional? This is a missions conference. It's not just about raising money to send to those around the world. It's about being missional. Like Bobby said, it's about being on mission every day. I've had this scripture ever since the Asbury revival that we went to. The Lord dropped this into my spirit in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And I'll close with this. It says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah." Oh. We are seeing God pour out times of refreshment. I talked about this scripture. I don't know if you remember when I talked about it, but this word translated, it is like a wave hitting over and over and over again of God's refreshing spirit. So the question you have to ask yourself, if times of, this is times of, this is not all time, this is not everyday time, this is times, they are waves. The word translated does not mean every day, it does not mean every time, it means times, occasional times. Okay, I want you to get this. It's times. It's this time and then not. And then this time and then not. It's not every day. Times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. So when you enter in the presence of the Lord today, there's a certain wave that comes. And today's wave may have been healing of broken hearts. The next time we enter the presence of God, the time of refreshment may be a blessing, financial increase. The next time you enter the presence of God, another wave may come over your life. It may begin to heal the sick. But times of refreshment will come. And my question to you is, which one of those times do you want to miss? Why do we? Why do we miss what God's doing? Why do we miss the times of refreshing? It's coming, and it comes from the presence of God. Be missional, what God's called you to do. Be missional, what God's called you to do. And don't miss. It says, do not forsake the assemblings of yourself together, and even more so as you see the time approaching. We talked about this Wednesday night. I shared an awesome video. If you didn't get a chance to see it, you need to see it. You have to see it, about the end times. But the time is coming. And if the time is coming for our appointed Messiah to return, then the times of refreshment are already here. You got to get that. If the times of the signs are coming and the end is coming, the appointed Messiah is already releasing times of refreshment. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss one of those waves. I don't want to miss one of those times that God is pouring out His Spirit in this church. Amen. So my thing to you today is don't stop. Don't stop. If you're missional, be missional. If you're not, be missional. Don't stop getting into His presence. Don't stop seeking His presence. Don't stop knowing and understanding the Word of God. Don't stop experiencing His power. Because this is what we need. This is what we need to reach those that are lost. Each and every one of us know people that are lost that don't know Jesus, right? How do we reach them? By being on mission. I teach something called a one-day principle. And a lot of different Bible studies and classes I teach is called the one-day principle. The one-day principle is this. Real shortly as I close, Pastor Rick's going to come and pray for you today and close out the service. But real quick before I do that, I teach the one-day principle. Here it is. One day, it's going to be someone that I love. It's going to be their day to know Jesus. One day, right? Do you have that person that one day it's going to be their day? I have someone that I want to know Jesus. Think about that person. Put them in your heart real quick. Put them in your heart real quick. I want this person to know Jesus. Yeah, I want the world to know Jesus, but I want this person to know Jesus. You put that in your heart. One day I want them to know Jesus. Then don't you want whoever's supposed to speak in their life to that day to be on mission? Because you know what? I may never lead my one person to the Lord. It may be you. Maybe you. Maybe you. Maybe you. I may not have the opportunity. It may not be me. But I hope that one day, when that person that I want to know Jesus comes face to face with their time, that someone is on mission that day and says, let me tell you about Jesus. I think of that every time we come into the church, how I want everything to be just right because it may be your person's one day. They may walk into church and it may be their one day. Today may be your one day. If you're here today and you said, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but He's been pulling and tugging in my heart. Today is my day. I want to know Him. I don't want to leave this place without knowing that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Would you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you right now. Because it may be your one day. Hallelujah. Hey, I rejoice when no hands go up, because I go, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. But never forsake one day. If God's drawing you to talk to that person, it's in Walmart, talk to them. If God is telling you to be kind to that person that just cursed you out, be kind. It may be there one day. Someone is praying for them. They may be my one day person. Be on mission. Don't stop. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the word that you've given to us. Lord, we just pray that you would just cultivate your word within us, Father. We ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to just let it ring in our ears, Father, that we would be able to stand in you and be the men and women of God you've called us to be. And we thank you, Lord, that you gave us your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And we want to thank you. Lord, I just ask for a blessing on these folks today. We ask, Lord, that you would just guide them and lead them for the rest of their day. And Lord, and most of all, we thank you for your Son and your Holy Spirit. And we just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.